Hello again, gentlemen. My first audio story, American Girl in London, was so popular that I decided to write a sequel. Now, when we left off, the Englishman was very smitten with the feisty American. He visited her at her flat in London to sort her out and have his wicked way with her, thinking smugly that his mind would then be free of her. But he found to his dismay that he was quite ruined for any other woman, and as you may recall, he ended up permanently blind and with a severe case of carpal tunnel. Well, it turns out I may have exaggerated just a little bit. The Englishman did find himself addicted to looking at the photos of the American, and it's true that he couldn't leave himself alone. However, it turns out that he didn't go completely blind after all. His eyesight only got a bit worse, and now he needs corrective lenses. But it cannot be proven that this is in any way connected to his excessive wanking habit, as you Brits like to say. And the carpal tunnel, that was really a mild case. Nothing that would require surgery or anything. But the worst part in all of this, to the Englishman at least, is that he cannot stop thinking of and wanting the uppity American. And the real rub is that she vexed him so, always so contrary and so proud. She wouldn't give an inch, and they clashed so much over matters of politics and government, she being very right-wing, and he very left. This, however, didn't stop him from wanting to give her a good seeing to. Indeed, it made him want to even more so, for when he was fucking her good and hard, the spirited Yank was too busy screaming and panting to give voice to her lofty opinions. The Englishman smiled as he recalled their last meeting. She had been too proud to beg him, but he knew she wanted him. She had been so incredibly wet between her legs, wetter than any female he'd ever known. And such caterwauling, he'd never had another woman as passionate and vocal as this one. It made him hard just to think of it. There was nothing for it. He had to have her again. He had to end this torment once and for all. So he booked a flight to the States. The saucy American lived in South Carolina, and that is where he would land. This time he would fuck her as many times as required to get her out of his system. The Englishman gave the American no notice of his visit. He just showed up one day on her doorstep. She was home alone, writing her stories and having a cup of Earl Grey. She was wearing jeans and a long button-down shirt that concealed the .45 Smith & Wesson she wore on her hip. If South Carolina permits concealed carry, and the proud American was never without her weapon. It was a lot of gun for a woman, but she was a lot of woman, and vowed she'd never be a victim of violent crime. When her doorbell rang, it startled her a bit. She wasn't expecting anyone. With one hand on her sidearm, she answered the door, only to find the handsome Englishman standing there, smirking and looking all sexy. "Hello, love," he said to her. "Oh, goody, it's another British invasion," she quipped after the surprise wore off. "I'd better go saddle up and warn the Minutemen." She stood back to allow him entry. "Too late," he retorted. "I'm already here." "You were expecting someone else?" he inquired, his brow arched. his gaze resting on her gun. "No, actually," the American informed him. "I always have my weapon on me. Doesn't do much good if it's in a drawer somewhere." The Englishman's gaze moved from her gun to her other weapons, the ones on her chest, peeking out just above the neckline of her shirt, which was unbuttoned just enough to show about an inch of cleavage. The American caught him looking and smiled at him. "So, are you here on business or pleasure?" "Both," he said softly as he kissed her lips. "I came to... how did you say it? Ah, to have my wicked way with you, you naughty girl. I'm going to sort you out." This always sent a shiver down her spine and some warm wetness to her most intimate place. But she didn't want the haughty Englishman to know how he affected her. "So you came 3,300 miles just to sort me? I thought you sorted me out the last time. Or am I not sufficiently sorted? Are you saying that your sorting skills are rusty in some way?" The Englishman smirked. He kissed her face and neck and murmured in her ear, "Well, you see, you were so out of sorts, that is to say, so unsorted, that I believe more sorting is required to put you to rights," he explained. Damn his eyes. He looked and smelled and sounded so good. It wasn't fair. "What is it about this vexing man that I find so irresistible?" she wondered. "May I offer you anything? Wine? Tea?" she asked, trying to appear composed. He looked at her, his blue eyes smoldering with passion and a touch of mirth. "Offer? Oh, yes. You may offer me your lips," he said between kisses, "and your tongue, and those perfect nipples." His hand rubbed one of them through the thin fabric of her shirt. "In every inch of your glorious, naked, warm, soft, sexy, delectable body." "Oh, is that all?" she breathed, her pulse quickening, her knees weakening. She hoped he could not detect how turned on she really was. "Are you going to remove this?" he inquired, his hand touching her gun. "No, you'd like that, wouldn't you? To disarm me, to render me totally helpless. You think all Americans should be disarmed. Well, tough toenails, Englishman. I remove my sidearm for no man. You can kiss my Yankee ass is what you can do, you... oh, you socialist... liberal, a little bit to the right, yes, kiss me there, insufferable, leftist, oh, what was I saying?" The Englishman smirked. "You were saying I'm a socialist, liberal, lefty something or other." "Right, you are, you. Oh, God, don't let go of me, Englishman. I'll go down like a rock." With that, the Englishman swept the saucy American off her feet and carried her once again to her bedroom. No one knows how he knew what direction to take, but her home had a first-floor master suite, and that is where he carried her, placing her on the king-size bed. He began unbuttoning her shirt. Looking directly into her blue eyes, he said gently, "I am removing your belt, and since your holster is on the belt, the gun is coming off with it. I'll place it on the floor beside the bed." The American hesitated for a moment, but conceded with a nod. Before she knew it, She was stripped naked, and the Englishman's hot tongue and hands were all over her, on her belly, her breasts, her throat. His finger gently parted the wet folds of her womanhood and began gently rubbing her, the way he knew she liked to be rubbed. The flood of wetness was immediate, and the panting, writhing, and breathy sounds quickly followed. The American began fumbling with the buttons on his shirt, trying to render him as naked as she. The Englishman quickly undid the rest of his buttons, tearing some of them off in his haste, stopping to kiss the American's mouth, his tongue gently probing and tasting as he did. She was once again shockingly wet, just as she was the last time they were together. The Englishman was so turned on by the lusty American's cries, by her hungry kisses, and her soft, warm body, that he could barely contain himself long enough to even begin satisfying her. And then, to make things even more frustrating for the Englishman, the American began licking him. She began by licking his belly, but of course, he knew what was coming. Her bare breasts enveloped him as her mouth moved slowly downward. Her blue eyes searched his face for reactions, just before her very full, pouty lips touched his manhood. Her face looked deceivingly innocent as her tongue darted out, delivering short, feathery licks up the length of his shaft, delighting in how it jumped at her every time her tongue made contact. She was teasing him, he realized, and she was turned on by his obvious arousal. Her eyes met his just as she delivered her first, very long lick, all the way up his shaft, from bottom to top. He thought he would die. The American girl thoroughly enjoyed driving him mad with lust. She allowed her tongue to encircle the top again and again, causing it to jump wildly at her. She pretended she was licking her favorite frozen custard, the kind she often enjoyed at the beach in summer, when it's very hot out and you have to lick very fast to prevent it from melting all down your hand. The American girl licked and licked and licked until the Englishman thought he'd go completely mad. Finally, she climbed atop the Englishman, allowing her breast to brush his face as she slowly impaled herself on his mighty sword. He felt so hard, like a steel rod covered in velvet, and he entered her so easily and filled her so completely. The American moved expertly, alternately leaning forward, her breast bouncing off his chin, and backward, her insides gripping and bending him. The Englishman tended to both breasts and then kissed her mouth deeply, as his hand reached down to touch the place where they were joined, feeling her astonishing wetness that covered him. He then turned her over onto her back and pulled her to the edge of the bed, where he could stand and fuck her hard, the way he knew she liked it. With her legs draped over his shoulders, he entered her again and began thrusting harder and faster, causing her to scream and her breast to bounce wildly. This is what compelled him to come here. This is what drove him. The lure of a woman this passionate, who wanted him inside of her. Oh, she might try to deny it, to appear indifferent, but he knew. He knew how to seduce her and how to please her. And from the sound of her voice, from the panting and screaming, from the warm wetness enveloping him, there was no doubt in his mind that she was well pleased, no doubt that she craved him. longed for him as much as he did her. He began to feel her hot, humid inside spasming and squeezing him again as her fingers gripped the bed sheets and her lips parted to emit a breathy moan. "Fuck me harder," she cried. The Englishman was rather shocked at how hard she wanted to be fucked, but he obliged. His thrusting increased in speed and intensity until he was slamming into the very vocal American. It was a heady feeling, seeing this typically cool and composed woman so undone, so wild with lust, and knowing that he was the cause of it. Finally, when she began screaming out her climax, the Englishman permitted himself to enjoy his release. He threw his head back and grunted through a clenched jaw as he filled her with his warmth. The American girl settled herself in the curve of his underarm and said breathily, "I want more. Can you go again?" The Englishman, his breathing still labored, looked at her, his brow arched. He found to his dismay that he wanted very much to please the insatiable American again. Was he ever going to get her out of his system, he privately wondered. Just give me a glass of juice in 5 minutes, he replied. Now, dear listeners, what do you suppose will become of the haughty Englishman? Do you think the feisty American's insatiable appetite will be his undoing? Will he ever get his fill of her, or do you suppose he'll return to London, where his eyesight will likely continue to deteriorate? Tune in next time, gentlemen, as we rejoin our haughty hero and feisty heroine in their never-ending quest for sexual fulfillment. Until then, pleasant dreams.